You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
It's Mail It In Friday, and it's a great day.
Yeah?
We're going to get into some just awesome stuff. Trades, all kinds of big things.
This is a day
people,
that sets
some people
up.
Got in trouble. It's Mail It In Friday. But I will say this. I heard the end of the show yesterday when I was not here. I was not able to be here for the Dwayne Casey interview. And you this week has been about the bromance. And for the listeners, I would like to play for you what I call a compilation of the biggest bromance in pro sports. Malz, hit it.
Always great talking to you, my friend. And like I said, you represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Hey, B, how you doing, buddy? So we want to make sure we stay sharp, Brian. I tell you what, I got it. B, Hayes, I got to hook you guys up. Well, B, one thing that I said before the game, thank you, buddy.
Wow.
That was bigger than DeRozan returning. I think me connecting with Dwayne Casey on the radio yesterday was actually a bigger story than DeRozan coming home.
Yeah. He had to, like, that was just a...
I love.
What did he say? You were the ultimate pro sports guy for, yeah, like, professionalism?
You were the voice of reason for basketball in all of Toronto.
Basically, I'm the authority. I'm the authority on the NBA and basketball in Toronto and throughout
the
country for that matter.
Let me hear the first part again,
Just the first part.
Always great talking to you, my friend, and like I said, you represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
What? Okay, thank you, buddy.
There's Dwayne Casey.
What a thank you, buddy, pumping. And then a thank you, buddy, back.
Buddies everywhere. Buddies everywhere. I don't care,
that's
man.
Good point, Brian.
Well, thank you, Dwayne. I own it, man. I don't fight it.
Every time he says something, just give that one. Good point, Brian.
That's good point, Brian.
Do you know how happy I was that you two idiots weren't here yesterday for that?
I heard that. You said to Craig, you're like, thank God those other two donkeys aren't here. Because every time a hockey guy calls in, they say, hey, yeah, good talking to you, Noodles and O-Dog.
Is that not true? This is my one time to shine where I'm actually the focal point from a guest perspective.
The one thing I love about hockey guys when I call in, or they're like, Jamie and Jeff, you guys would know this. I'm like, what about our host? Like, what, he wouldn't know this?
He would know. You played junior hockey, too. Yeah. I actually think that is kind of funny.
It is weird how they say that, though. Like, Noodles and O-Dog, you guys would know this. What, you don't?
Well, I mean, to be fair, if you're talking about something from an NHL perspective, I wouldn't. That's I didn't different. Play
dude,
in the NHL.
You know it. Like, you
know.
Well, if it's a dump and chase conversation, yes, yeah. I'm aware of the dump and chase.
Or even chemistry in the room or something behind the scenes. You know, through all of our conversations and our connections in hockey, you know as much as everyone else. It's just funny, but that I the authority on the NBA like that, and the voice for all of Toronto media.
Oh yeah, step aside Jack Armstrong, step aside Leo Routens, Rod Black, Matt Devlin, Doug Smith,
Josh Lewenberg,
Ryan Wohlstadt, out. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because the big guy is here to represent the city when it comes to the NBA.
It's impressive.
That's a good point, Brian.
Thank you. And he's right. He's not wrong with that
he's
quote,
not right.
man.
Good point.
That is going on my gravestone. Yeah. You are the authority of the NBA in the city of Toronto.
Always great talking to you, my friend.
That is a bromance.
That's a good point,
that
Brian.
Really is.
Well, that was our last bromance yesterday. When we gave out the tickets to the game tonight.
Are you kidding me? We don't have one more?
No, we're done.
Well, that's
we
it gave tonight.
Because the game's tonight. The game's at 7 o'clock.
Well, this is the biggest bromance we've ever seen.
Hazy B in D.C.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian.
That's outstanding.
That's just a clip that you can play forever. It's
forever.
A good point, Brian. Every time you make a hot take and you slam your fist on the table...
That's a good point, Brian.
Well, we need to add this to Boom Goes the Dynamite, the end of that clip, where thank you for that look into sports, Brian.
Yeah.
Where I used to play it all the time when I had my own show.
You used to end the Brian Hayes show with that.
Yeah. I used to end with, I'm out of here. I'm back tomorrow at whatever time.
Yeah.
We'll chat then.
Thanks That's a good point, Brian.
No, that wasn't the one we used to boom play. Find the Boom Goes the Dynamite if you can. Because I'm on my game today. I feel like that was a pep talk. I love it. It was great catching up with Dwayne Casey. You said it, the material, man. We got material for days here.
Yeah.
Like, DeMar is back, and we'll touch on that. Tom Stirner's coming up at 4:30, longtime assistant coach here in Toronto. So we'll get to that. We got trades going on in the NHL.
Well, I did that game last night.
You were calling that game in Jersey last night.
That was tough because I actually...
Jamie, that was a tough look into the future.
But that's the thing. By all accounts, again, I'm not... privy of the young players coming up. Abramov, the kid they got from Columbus.
Yeah, so if you're not aware of this, Matt Duchene traded from the Senators to Columbus for a first-rounder in 2019, two prospects, and a conditional first-rounder if Duchene resigns.
Which is a fluff, because he's not signing there, so it makes it look for Ottawa. It's a PR move to say, hey, add that in there to make it look good. Happening.
San Jose did the same thing with the Carlson deal. Now, we'll throw a condition in there if we re-sign him.
If Duchene loves it there and re-signs, then, you know, if they give that money instead that they were going to give to Panarin to Duchene or somewhere in that neighborhood, it even looks better. Like, the one kid I really like in Columbus, I don't know if I brought this up on the show before, that Dubois is a player.
Yeah, he's
like a serious player.
He got benched the other night, but he's good.
Well, I know, but he's 20. Like, this kid is a serious, serious player. Like, it's amazing. Remember at the draft, everyone thought that Kekalainen was going to take Puljujärvi, the Finnish connection, that he went and at three took Dubois. And
what a pick.
Oh, this guy is like...
one of the more critical moves of the draft in the last 5 or 6 years, where it was like... it was a slam dunk, and everyone gasped. We were at that draft.
Yes, right? we were there. We're like, hold.
Pulled the trigger. I was like, what is he doing?
Well, and it's easy to say it now, but at the time, we thought, wow, Edmonton, what a
luck.
What luck. Like, Puljujärvi's still waiting for them at four.
But the scary part is if a Finnish guy who with a scouting background in Kekalainen looks past the Finnish guy,
that's right,
there's a red flag.
Well, and look what's going on with Puljujärvi. Now he's injured and he can't be sent down to the minors.
Well, and he's going to go
when it rains, it pours
and all
in
that.
Edmonton. But
I that Dubois, if you could somehow find a way, if Duchene likes it there and extend him, I know it's a rental market and that, but I don't mind the return. Again, I don't know Abramov, if that's his name. We don't know the first rounder. We don't know where that's going to fall, if that's mid or late.
And I believe it's top three protected.
Right.
But Ottawa, this is what they have to do. They've got to get first round picks. They've got to load up on picks and prospects. At some point, they're going to have to spend money. I mean, that's the elephant in the room in Ottawa. There is a floor, and they aren't even within a stratosphere of it for next year. Yeah. Like, Ottawa is going to have to spend this summer, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
What I will say is, if you asked me yesterday, let alone a week, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, did I think Columbus would be the team that was all in to make a push, I would have said no chance, because we were looking at it from the opposite side of the coin. Panarin's going to go and Bobrovsky's going to go.
Right.
Instead, they're like, no, forget it. They're not even in a playoff spot right now. They're a point out as of today.
Yeah.
Now, they have games in hand. And it's a part of me, because we were just in Vegas, I'm like, I appreciate this gamble. Yeah. Like, the Columbus Blue Jackets are putting their whole fortune on, like, double zero at the roulette table. Because they got to get in.
Yeah.
They have to get in now. And this will test the theory that your GM can actually boost the confidence within the room. Because remember last year when St. Louis was hovering around a playoff spot and they traded Stastny and they sunk like a stone?
Yeah.
And they all said afterwards, through the media, off the record, that sent a message. The team didn't believe in us and we were done.
Yeah.
Well, is this going to send a message in Columbus? We're all in and let's get rocking here.
We just got, and by all accounts, on Drager's Twitter account, he said Columbus may not be done here yet.
Well, and also the trade bait board, take Panarin off it. He shouldn't even be in the top 50. You can't trade him now. You just went all in for this year. You're not trading Panarin or Bobrovsky.
Right.
You sent a message that we're in it to win it. We're going to try to get in.
Yeah.
And it's a huge gamble, because even if they backdoor in, they got Tampa in the first round.
Tampa is just rinsing again. They just find a way.
But like, still, I mean, there's a part of me that kind of, you know, I give him credit. I give him credit for saying, forget it. We've been a middling team forever. We've never won a playoff round. We're in it. we're going for it. And when the dust settles on July 1st, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll just sort it out. Because they are going to have a lot of money come off the books and have to reshape a little bit. They do have, like we were talking about, like that Dubois is a serious player. They've got some real good players there. But you need to add to the top-end talent. And you're going to be minus a goaltender. You're going to be minus a star winger. Come unrestricted free agency in Bobrovsky and Panarin.
So right. You are going to have that money. Big, like big time talent. The only the league's all about top end talent. With two of like it's just guys are leaving. Guys that want to like Ottawa and Columbus. Like, they must be thinking like this sucks.
Well, I want
if you're not this big market with these big stars, like you're out of the game. You're out of the game.
Well, they do. I mean, there's a coy element to this with Duchene. They got about 3 months to sell him. Because that is not a bad contingency plan for Panarin leaving. If you can keep
Ryan,
Duchene.
Do you think that Matt Duchene is going to say, I'm not playing for the Ottawa Senators, my destination, I'm going to fall in love with Columbus? You could maybe, if you're a golfer, fall in love in the summertime with all the great golf courses around there. You're not falling in love with Columbus.
But they can give you 8 years.
But here's
they
a question
can give you that eighth
you.
Year, Columbus
you're
can.
Right, and it's a great point. But here's
it's more than 8 years. I think in that decision, you're thinking about where you want to be, where you could be, what team, what guys could I play with? I don't think Columbus would be in that discussion at all.
Well, where? Let's just hypothetically, because we are just we're spitballing it. Where's the market for Matt Duchene this summer at 7 years at $8.5 million? It's not Montreal,
Jamie. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't pay him that. If I'm a G, I wouldn't pay him that period. So somebody's going to. So we have to figure out that. But if I'm Jeff O'Neill team, I'm not paying that period because I don't think he's worth that. I think he's a good player. He might get you 25 goals. He might get you 60 points, but I'm not giving him that contract.
I think he's.
But
more
we got to figure
it. Yeah, I think he's more than that, 25 and 60. But I mean, let's just say
not much more though. Like his
he's
limit.
He's a 70 point guy. I think he is. Health and some stability, guys to play with. He's
maybe.
Pretty good player.
I mean, he's. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but you know, and maybe we're adjusting for the era.
As an RFA, William Nylander just got 7. Duchene's a better player than Nylander.
Like, yeah, but he's also older. It's a different circumstance.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter comparing him to whoever.
As a UFA, all I'm saying is that where would be the marketplace? And I know there's a lot of moving targets and musical chairs, but for a guy like Matt Duchene, everyone would connect him to, well, Nashville may have been all in on where we go. Well, they may not have a spot from an unrestricted free agency. Like, that's the thing. You need only two teams, really, to get going, or even one team that's all in
on you. And there are teams with room, and there are teams with needs.
Right.
You know, like the Islanders, if they spend the money, if they got new ownership, they may say, hey, Barzal and Duchene up the middle of the ice.
Not a
Florida
bad scenario.
Be
you're right.
That.
Because you're right. The Islanders
Duchene
still
will get
have
paid.
To, they have to re-sign Anders Lee. They've got a few players there that are UFAs that they've got to sort out. But it's just, I was going to almost send you guys a note yesterday. Were you on board with asset management? Like last night, that ended up, I mean, I felt bad for
Ottawa.
Senator.
Made all the sense in the world.
Right. Like you sat your top three players going into the game. They were going to do it again tonight because they play Columbus. So now Duchene will just have the shopping cart trade. But last night, I'd never seen a reaction. I had some notes on Twitter from the fan base in Ottawa. I thought it was a smart business move. It's asset management. But I'm looking at it from a fan's perspective. There were a lot of disappointed people.
Well, I don't think they should be because the game was in Jersey. I think what would have been compelling is if it was a home game.
Yeah.
And that's what you're dealing with tonight.
Right.
Because you got people, you got your fans, and you pissed off your fans with what's happened the last 12 months anyway.
Are you kidding me?
They hate your guts in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And if
what is that building? Like, Jamie, I feel you.
Well,
like
Ray would be the guy.
Ray's coming up at 5. We'll ask him. But, like, if you bought tickets 3 months ago and you're going to the game and you're telling me Mark Stone is available to play, but he's not going to play, this is a tough decision. It is. It's a heavy decision.
Now, it's the business part,
but
and I understand.
You can't play him tonight if you didn't play him last night. DeZingle and Stone are not playing.
Those two can't play. But, again, it has to be, I don't know. I'm not privy to behind-the-scenes information as to maybe Stone is close to signing a deal, or maybe it sounds like they were close, and then it went south. So, again, I'm just reading Twitter feeds of our insiders and Bobby Mack and Dregs reporting that, is available.
Wouldn't you be surprised if Stone somehow signed with Ottawa between now and Monday? I would be. I mean, now that he's out of the lineup and he's available, I think you've crossed that bridge and he's out the door and you're working on the deal.
The only thing I could see is if the deal comes back and they up it financially, if that's the stumbling block. And by all accounts, the asking price is very high for Stone, which you should. You have to get assets back for top players.
Well, in Ottawa, with Panarin now off the board, right. Stone's value should be even higher.
Yeah.
Because he is the guy now. Well, like, if you're looking at a team like Boston, who we believe, Winnipeg, we believe would be in on this, maybe Nashville looking to upgrade.
Yeah.
Those teams have assets, they have needs, and they're in it to win it. They'll pay a heavy price.
I talked to this last night in Jersey. The building was had a lot of scouts there. And it's weird. We've talked about this. Like, you all know what those players are all about. You don't need to fly in and see them, but I think a lot of it is optics. Like, Scott Mellenby was in the building, which, you know, he had flown in from St. Louis. He kind of circled back. I talked to a lot of scouts last night that weren't just looking at those three players, but there's when you're a team that is near the bottom of the standings, you're looking at other scenarios. And it's interesting, the thought process on that. I talked to a guy quite high up and on a very good team, and he was like, oh, yeah, we like those guys, but we actually like player X. And that was off the board. And you're thinking, oh, I didn't even think of how that player would be a really good fit for your organization. So Pierre Dorion is going to be busy. He's going to be busy, and he should be.
Yeah, Ottawa is the epicenter trade center right now.
But that was the one thing I was going to point to. It's almost like Ottawa is holding the league hostage. Because, you know,
and they should.
Well, yeah. but you're right. But if Stone, if he's not available, then you go to somebody else.
I said it, I used the baseball comparison yesterday that Stone is Bryce Harper and Duchesne was Machado, and until the big guys go, then you can figure out what the market is and then where else you.
I love this talk of, oh, if Stone's not available, I'll go to this guy. If I'm a GM and it's like trying to make my team better, I don't get Stone, I'll stand pat. I'm not just going to settle for the next guy or the third guy or whatever. I'll stand pat.
Well, especially take if it's a chance. Big drop-off.
Yeah, no kidding. You know? It's like, why do I want to do that?
And you're already a really good team. Like, Winnipeg is already, like, with or without Stone, no one's going to be like,
you don't get Stone,
don't
maybe get
win.
A defenseman or something. Get somebody else. But like, I'm not just going to settle and say, oh, this is the next guy down. I got to get that guy. No, you don't.
But it depends
Your
on
team's the really good. Run with it.
But it depends on the player, and it depends on the asking price.
Yeah.
Because I'll always want to add. You always want to add to a team that you think is very good.
I get it, but I'm not going to go from Stone to say, oh, I got to get Ryan DeSingle. Guys can score some goals, but I don't think he's going to put any team over the top.
Well, I don't think...
Ryan Hartman signed in Nashville last year. Did he do anything in the playoffs where you're like, man, he was a game breaker? Did he? I don't remember seeing
that. Well, I mean, that's the truth about the...
But that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you don't have to do it. Like, you don't have to do it.
But if you have... But, okay, let's bring that back to the Leafs then. If the Leafs can upgrade in a position, but they miss out on, say they're in on Nick Jensen. I thought Nick Jensen's a pretty good player.
Yeah, I do too.
He's always liked Washington.
So say they were in on Nick Jensen and they miss out. I still think you look at the next guy on your list because maybe the marketplace has readjusted because of what Nick Jensen just went for.
I guess the point is, Jamie, you look at the next guy on the list, but it's not must-have.
It's not clockwork. It's not dominoes. Like, okay, like it's not robotic.
Right, okay, this guy's up.
He's
let's
out.
Just,
Who's the next guy?
But,
same price
but you have
or
to
minus
look
a
at,
little.
You have to look at the fit, and you always have to be proactive, and I think the Leafs will be proactive still here.
Well, Mike Babcock was asked about that today. We'll let you hear that clip. We'll get into it next. So the elephant in the room is this Robert Kraft story that Victoria's mentioned a couple of times, just kind of snuck it in under the radar there, right at the end of the SportsCenter update. But the owner of the Patriots, he's in some trouble down in Jupiter, Florida.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, soliciting prostitution, and it sounds like it was the old massage parlor, the lights were on, and...
The sign said open? Like
it just says massage. Yeah. That's all it says is massage.
Well, the golden rule is if you see $39.99 in a neon light,
they're not qualified.
You're not going in there.
You're not going in there because you have
and
a rotator issue.
And by the way, the cutoff is 5:30 p.m. Anything open after 7?
It's a little bit fishy.
You're looking for it.
Robert Kraft is 77. I don't think he's hanging out in Jupiter, Florida on the strip after dark. You know, this sounds like... You know, innocent until proven guilty, but probably an
now
appointment.
Now, he's denying it, right? Like, is there...
Right, but the reports are that there's video and everything. I don't know how
facts.
He's going to dance around
the guy
around
might have
this.
Had lower back problems. Nobody knows. But until we get the facts, you can't make judgments. So.
Wow. Yeah. Now, from a sports standpoint, and I know it's a heavy and serious issue, one of the first things I was thinking of was hammer the Patriots to win the Super Bowl next year. Because this will be a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
This will be just one more thing where the world is going to goof on them or be against them. And Kraft is going to get, you know, suspended. I don't even know how you suspend an owner.
Is this going to be called Massage Gate?
Fillate Gate.
What?
Fillate Gate. That's what it's being called online.
Oh, like fellatio?
Yes.
Fillate Gate? I don't understand that.
Okay. Well, I'll explain it to you off the air.
Well, I mean, but like, yeah.
It's not that complicated, but yes.
Yeah, you lost me there for a second.
Tug Gate or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, obviously. Well, let's family show.
Family
that's
program,
why I thought Massage Gate was a
Massage Gate is probably more G-rated.
Yes.
Although these are legitimate terms that we're using here. I don't think we're going
anywhere
off the rails.
Tugboat, we're going to call it.
Right. So Bobby Kraft is in some trouble. He's in some hot water.
What could you...
There are some dudes on that list.
Well, the age is on the list. Like, that's where there's some.
It's an 85-year-old.
There are some elderly gentlemen there.
Yeah. All the way, like, of the list that was released, because it was a full sting, and a bunch of people have been arrested and charged. And reportedly, Adam Schefter was saying there are bigger names that could still come out. I don't know.
I didn't see one.
No, not on that list, but he's saying, I guess, maybe it wasn't included in today's sting, but in the next wave,
do you remember,
someone else is going to get clipped. I don't know.
Remember the lady in Hollywood, Heidi Fleiss?
Yeah.
Remember her black book got put out there? And
the Hollywood Madam.
There were some people running for the... It wasn't Charlie Sheen, like, right at the top.
But Charlie didn't even... I don't even think
he
cared.
He doubled down.
He was happy that he got named.
Yeah, I don't think he was too worried about being named, but there were a ton of people.
There were some people running for the exits at that point.
That black book was worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, anyway, if anything else develops, we'll see where it goes with Robert Kraft and how the NFL is going to react to it. Again, it's so early into the process. I don't know.
Like, to me, that I'm not schooled in it and don't have a law degree, but like misdemeanor fines, like it doesn't sound like that would be like jail time in that. Like I don't know.
I mean, it depends on exactly what
the
was
level,
going on.
Yeah, the level,
you know, I would
situation,
think.
Yeah.
But from an NFL perspective, that doesn't matter. Like the players are going to be saying, all right, let's see how consistent you are. Because if it was a player that got clipped and got arrested, we'd be saying he's going to get suspended for this many games and lose this kind of money. Kraft, the NFL is going to have to. They're going to fine him a fortune, I would think.
Yeah. He's made him money.
But
it doesn't matter.
You can't suspend him games? What the hell does that do?
He's 77 years old?
Yeah. Well, and it's suspending him. What is that? You can't suspend the owner.
You can't
come
to your
play.
Own games? Yeah,
yeah, I guess. You're not allowed on the premises or something? I don't know what's going to happen. But
that would be an interesting, like boardroom. We are going to fine you $500,000 for going to the rub and tug.
And being arrested.
Yeah.
And getting arrested. But the other owners are probably thinking, what have I done in the past or what is going on? You know,
just bad PR for the league.
It's terrible PR. And because it's New England and it's the Patriots and everyone knows Robert Kraft, like everybody knows him. He is the owner in the NFL of the most successful dynasty. He's always on the field. He's hanging out.
Yeah,
he's fun loving.
The only other guy would be Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones and him.
And
those are the
Kraft
two guys.
Are the two biggest names.
Those are the two guys. Yeah.
You have to put a Y in the end of his name.
Crafty?
Robert Crafty.
Just a crafty, but he's not that crafty.
No, he is.
He
thought
not.
He was crafty,
but
he went
not.
For the neon lights,
and
he's
burned
paying
him.
The price.
Right. So we'll see what happens there and how it all develops. And we'll try to keep you up to date on what the name of the gate will be. It may be Massage Gate.
I was trying to just soften...
Did
situation.
I come a little bit too strong?
Well, I was like, are you? Yeah, I guess. I don't
well,
know.
Well, I didn't swear
people,
anything. I mean, that's
no,
a legitimate
if
word
people
in the English dictionary.
If people are accepting that, then I'm fine with it. I was just trying to...
I saw it. It was trending for a bit.
Exactly.
So
if it's trending, we can say it.
I think you just go with Tuggate and we're good.
Okay. Ray Ferraro coming up. He's in Ottawa tonight. That'll be a great game. Ottawa-Columbus. Duchesne's going to play, but for the Blue Jackets. I teased the Babcock clip. We'll play that at 5, and we'll get into it with Ray. What Babcock had to say about the message he and the team want to send to Kyle Dubas leading up to the trade deadline. We'll get into the game last night, but really turn the page. We got the Habs in town tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago was the most hyped game of the season. Nothing should change. It's a massive game tomorrow night. Habs won last night. The Leafs lost again. Like, the Habs are right behind them. It's not like they're completely in the rear view.
No.
So we'll get to that at 5 p.m. But tonight, the stage is set down at Scotiabank. It's all about DeMar DeRozan, and he was in town yesterday speaking with the media. And, you know, he was asked if he regretted any of his original comments, and he said no because it was real life and it was raw. I don't see why he would regret it. You know, he wasn't happy about the trade. He felt like he was kind of duped by Masai Ujiri and sold out effectively. So I wouldn't expect that he would turn back the clock and want to change a thing. But tonight's going to be emotional. You know, it's going to be 11. This will be, he'll get cheered all night. I'm sure they'll have a montage video for him. It's going to be an emotional evening. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a guy who's very familiar with him, former longtime assistant coach with the Raptors, coaching DeMar DeRozan, back on Overdrive. Here's Tom Stoerner. How you doing, Tom?
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. This is going to be fun to talk about. There's not a better player in the league than DeMar DeRozan.
You're a DeMar guy through and through.
Yeah, I am. I had the opportunity to watch DeMar grow. You know, when we get there in 2011 and 12 with Coach Casey, you know, DeMar had just come off of rookie season, sophomore year, and when you watch DeMar early on. You know, I and I'll say this. You know, he was a volume shooter on a bad team, and that's, I think, some of the growing pains that you go through. But you watched and you had the opportunity to spend the time with him to watch him become one of the premier players, an all-star many times over, and a premier player in our league. And you watched this young man develop into a winner. And I was just felt so honored just to be around him, you know, because he's that special a person and that special a player.
Great guy, great player, Tom. But do you agree with the idea that it was the right thing to do if you want to kind of take the next step to acquire Kawhi Leonard, although DeMar had to go the other way? There was a lot of people when the trade happened, how could you do that? He's a Toronto favorite. He's a fan favorite. But at the end of the day, come playoff time, his performance was not great. It actually wasn't even that good at times. Do you not agree it was the right thing to do if you want to try to take the next step?
Well, I think Masai got to the point where he was trying to put his mark. I mean, for so much of that early stage, it was Colangelo's team. I mean, he hired Dwayne Casey. He drafted DeMar DeRozan and Valanciunas. He made the deal with Rudy Gay that eventually got, you know, all these guys here. So I think Masai was just getting to the point where he wanted to try to make and do it his way. Like I say, I think it will remain to be seen whether or not going forward we're going to find out very shortly here how much of an impact. Certainly, I feel like Kawhi Leonard has certainly brought a different dimension to the Raptors. I mean, I follow them extensively. As you guys know, I spend a lot of time talking with you guys on the radio about it. So in a lot of ways, you know, now that Nick's at the helm and Kawhi becomes the focal point, I think that the Raptors have made a big jump. But we're not going to know. And we're not going to know until the playoffs start and what happens and what gets done in the playoffs. That's going to be the telling tell as to whether or not it was all beneficial.
I don't think coaches really have anything to do with, like, tributes to players coming back, but do you think the people in game ops or who's ever running this, you take into consideration a guy like Kawhi, where you want to make the player coming back feel that he was valued by the fan base and the organization, but you gotta kind of consider the guy that got traded for him. He's got to sit there and watch this thinking, man, this is kind of tough to watch.
Well, I agree with that. And here's the one thing that, and I thought long and hard about this before when you guys asked me to talk about this. I felt bad for Kawhi, just like I felt bad many years ago for Shaquille O'Neal when he left the Orlando Magic and he came back and got booed. Kawhi got booed when he went back to San Antonio. And the circumstances are completely different. I think Kawhi is a very secure person, you know, a person who in his own right understands kind of the dynamics. DeMar leaves under not his circumstances. He didn't leave the organization. He got basically traded, which was a different way. And so the fact that he's a fan favorite, I think players understand that. Certainly, I think Kawhi Leonard, like I say, just being the person that he is, would certainly understand, given what DeMar did for the community, what DeMar did for the organization, how he turned it around from a losing franchise to a winning franchise. So in all those steps, I think the player understands, but I do agree with you. It is a very delicate situation in terms of how much fanfare you provide for the game for tonight.
With Tom Stoerner, former Toronto Raptors assistant coach, it's Rap Spurs down at Scotiabank tonight. You can hear it right here on 1050, tip-off at 7 p.m. An hour post All-Star break, we're, you know, it's basically a two-team race atop the East for the most part. It's Milwaukee and Toronto. And Milwaukee, 3-1 against the Raps this year. But the Raptors, we know they acquired Marc Gasol. They picked up Jeremy Lin. At some point, Van Fleet will return. And once they're fully healthy, is there one focal point you think Nick Nurse is likely focused on at this point? Like really trying to apply one change or one area of growth that has to happen between now and game one of the playoffs?
Well, I think what he's going to try to do, and like I said, I spent a lot of, you know, guys, you know, I spent a lot of time with Nick, and I still talk with Nick on occasions, but I think he's going to focus in on being able to be a good half-court team in the playoffs. You know, the style that we all enjoy and have fun watching in the regular season, up and down and open style of basketball, I think obviously changes because possessions get that much more important in the playoffs. The fact that they acquired Marc Gasol, I think, really enhances their ability to become an efficient and effective half-court team. He's a guy that can command a double team in the low post given the right matchup, and he's a guy who can play on the outside. But more importantly, he's a guy who is cerebral, a player that's in the league currently, and an excellent passer. So because of that, you have the ability to be able to enhance not only the starting unit, you know, when he comes in and they share a minute, but he's a guy who can carry the second unit in terms of an offense. So that was something I thought for the first half of the year that they struggled, you know, because of the injuries, because JV wasn't there. They had it rolling in the first 25 games when everybody was healthy, but getting anybody healthy and getting Gasol engaged into this team is going to be critical for them to be to have a long run in the playoffs.
Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, Tom. We'll do it again soon.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
There's Tom Stirner, former assistant coach with the Raptors. Pretty connected to DeRozan, to Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, for some reason I always think about that. Like, I know there's a celebration for DeMar coming back, but I always think about the player that's sitting there watching that.
I think you let the fans
determine.
And I know
Kawhi is a big-time player and he doesn't care that much, but it's just like you're sitting there thinking, oh, they love this guy.
You think Kawhi?
And you know what? He might be thinking, I don't get to walk outside without no jacket anyway, so.
Well, DeRozan said during his press conference yesterday, you know, he's always witnessed players returning to where they played and the standing ovation and how cool that was. So that's what he was looking for, and I think he's going to get that tonight.
Plus,
but that'll be from the fans. Like, I wonder if DeRozan wants to be, you know, promoted by the team. Like, if he would feel like they're patronizing him. Like, they traded you.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be like, you're the greatest, DeRozan, like, in all these, you know, highlights and stuff like that.
That's ego-driven. That's ego-driven.
Well, remember when Casey won Coach of the Year? The Raptors Twitter account tweeted out, congrats, Coach Casey.
Like, no. After they had fired him.
You just fired him, and you're saying...
But that's what I'm saying. Then Casey wanted to read that tweet. Do you think DeRozan really wants the team? Like, the fans is different.
Right.
Fans giving him the love is different. Do you think he wants the Raptors franchise to be promoting him tonight in basically supplying the love in with montages and videos and all that stuff?
I think you can keep it as simple as just put the camera on him, the Jumbotron on him, during a timeout, and he can walk out and give a wave, and you're done with it.
Here's another scenario.
Like, you don't have to do the video saying you're the greatest of all.
Well, the video's coming.
The video's coming.
Probably before the game starts.
But does Masai come down?
No way.
He can't. Masai's smarter than that.
Okay, but now I'm not privy to everything that went by behind the scenes, obviously, but wasn't it drawing a blank, went to Detroit from L.A., Clippers?
Well, Blake Griffin.
Griffin and
with
the owner.
Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer went over and
for the high
Griffin
five.
Has that routine where he goes bomb.
Which was a blatant lie.
But I could see, like, Masai's probably smart enough to not show his face, but if you feel like there's no hard feelings, he made a hard business decision. If I was Masai, I would go and say hello at some point today.
I wouldn't, because
you think he's going to hide in his office?
The truth is, Masai, I don't even think he could get a high five from Kyle Lowry tonight, let alone DeRozan. And Lowry still plays on his team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's way too much emotion.
I think people are making way too much of this.
I don't. Like, because look at Blake Griffin. That's a perfect comparison. That was the owner of the team, not the GM, not Doc Rivers.
Right.
Not the coach, the owner. who went over and tried to give Blake Griffin a high five. Hey, good to see you. And Griffin blew past him and left him hanging.
That was really embarrassing for him.
That was a Clayton Kershaw 12-6 curveball. Like, that was a Kershaw falling off the table because Ballmer had his hand up and then did the look around like, I'm screwed. Everyone can see that Griffin blew past me.
Yeah.
And if I'm Masai Ujiri, or if I work for Masai, I pull him aside and say, don't even look at DeRozan. Don't go towards the court tonight. Stay up in the suite because you're asking for trouble. And Masai, I think, has more self-awareness. It's not about Masai Ujiri tonight.
No.
It's about DeMar DeRozan and his own team playing the game.
But I think people have to be realistic. The team is better. Are they not?
Yes.
So
on paper. But until we see it in the playoffs.
You're right. But Kawhi Leonard is a better player than DeMar DeRozan. Is he not? Yes or no?
Yes. I hear you. It's not about that, though. You know that DeRozan feels jaded. He feels
he was told in Vegas in the summer league that he's not going anywhere, and the next day he was traded.
And that's bad business on paper, ethic-wise. But from a standpoint, like, you made your team better, and you're right, Masai went all in. Because if Kawhi walks at the end of the season, you know, good guy DeMar, who wanted to be here and all of that, that narrative comes back.
It will all be revisited.
Especially if they don't have success.
But in terms of the Masai and his role in tonight, I don't think he plays any role. I don't think he should show face. I don't think, listen, if the camera finds him, but, you know, sometimes he'll walk down and stand in the corridor where they run back into the locker rooms. If I'm him, I stay out of it.
Okay, so
tonight is not about Masai Ujiri.
Jerry's percentage, is he spotted by the camera tonight?
Well, he's going to be in the building.
Well, 100%, but I'm saying he's not. He's in a luxury box.
I would say so.
You know, he's nowhere near a scenario where he could cross paths with DeMar.
If he does, I think that's a really stupid position to put yourself in.
It's poor.
He does not want to see him at all.
DeMar, because everyone's saying, like, I'm getting people texting in and tweeting in saying, well, DeRozan, get over it. Well, Masai, the same thing. Like, you know, DeRozan's told you how he feels.
Trust me, when you buy into a city and you're an American guy, an L.A. guy, I think DeMar is, and you commit to Toronto and all of a sudden they say to you, no, there's nothing here, you're not going to get traded, and then you get traded. And you're one of the few guys that have actually committed to it. You're pissed off.
Well, and there's one guy that did it. It's Ujiri. You know, like Bobby Webster was involved in ownership and all that. Masai is the kingpin here.
He's the figure.
Masai is the architect. Masai makes, nothing happens with the Raptors unless it goes through him. So DeMar knows, you know, his anger has been very focused.
Yeah.
And his sense of dejection and, you know, disloyalty, it's been directed at one guy. Right. And that's what I'm saying. If Masai tries to pull a Steve Ballmer tonight, you can say it's immature or stupid or whatever on DeMar's part, but why put yourself in that position if you're Ujiri?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't see why he would do that. Don't seek him out. Don't try to hug it out. DeRozan has no interest in that. He doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't like you anymore. Yeah. So just
move on. Yeah, you deal with it. You made that decision. It's a hard decision.
Yeah.
Furthermore, Kyle Lowry on his own team doesn't want to do it either.
Well, I'm borderline joking, but not really. I'm not convinced Masai gets a high five from Kyle Lowry tonight.
No. Yeah.
He may get blown past and left hanging on a handshake from Kyle.
I think, let alone
DeRozan.
I know. I think that I understand the sour grapes, but you also have to move on with life and accept it, and it's a business.
This guy brings up a great point. Cemented on Twitter. Does Matt Duchene get a video tonight? Does he get a video in Ottawa? Does he get a video in Ottawa tonight?
I
don't know, and I don't even know how that dynamic would work.
I think he would.
He was there for about a calendar year.
Yeah. Just over a calendar year. But if you actually look, I was reading the comments on his Twitter because he put out a statement from him and his wife today.
Right.
That is a poll.
Okay, fire up the poll question. Should or will Matt Duchene?
Yeah, does Matt Duchene get
a tribute video tonight?
I think he does. I think he gets it. But it's a great point.
He was at
morning skate with the other team.
Was he on the ice with Ottawa? Well, I guess he wouldn't have, because he knew he wasn't playing.
He might have been, I don't know.
He would have been in the building on a bike and stuff.
Here's the thing. He said he wants to play tonight. Like, I probably would have taken a pass on tonight's game.
I think he's got to go. He's playing.
For Columbus.
Ray's coming up from Ottawa. We'll get Ray's take on whether or not he knows what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Is it tribute video cooking. And Mike Babcock's comments on what he'd like to see happen with Dubas and the trade deadline. We'll get to that at 5 p.m. Mail It In Friday brought to you by 1100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1100.net. Ray Ferraro coming up. Ray is in Ottawa tonight. We are embracing the idea of a Matt Duchene tribute video tonight. It has to happen. He deserves it. Long time Sen, all time great. Maybe a jersey retirement. We'll see. So we'll see what Ray has cooking in Ottawa. We'll get into the Leaf game last night and, more importantly, tomorrow night with the Habs in town. Massive game. Back into DeRozan. Lots cooking. Lots going on. Trade deadline only a few days away. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.